hope we'll see you again and you'll come worship with us again. Let me remind you that our Lenten worship will be Wednesday at 7 o'clock with a meal before at also remind you that the Easter Lily deadline is April 1st. That's like next week, you know, not this week, but Monday after next Monday. The forms are available on the table in the narthex, and we invite you to get that use of that yet. It's cutting in and out, isn't it? Yeah. Do what? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's cutting in and out. Yeah. Or either I'm doing talk one word loud, one word soft, one word. No. Kind of an announcement. It's hard to know how to tell you this, but many of you remember a person who had been a member here up to about 5 or 6 years ago, John Johnson. They found John Johnson dead this week at his house. So please remember, keep his family in your prayers. I'll wait for the shock to get over. It was quite a surprise. I think I'll also take this opportunity to say that you've noticed in the Go and Serve for weeks, we've invited you to give us contact information in case something were to happen. When they found John, it took quite a while for us to find family because nobody had any record of any family. This is why we're inviting you to let us have that kind of information so that should something happen, then we have somebody we can contact. So just a word to the wise. We had a wonderful week of family promise. Shannon, you wanted to talk just briefly. Thank you. And if you did not see the email where I sent you the link to the video or see it on the Facebook page, you really need to look at that. I was very proud of our church. We were pictured in the video, some of our members doing some things, getting set up for Family Promise. And at the end of the show on national TV, the host said, "This is exactly the kind of thing churches ought to be doing." And it made me feel very proud that we were pictured doing it. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. So anyway, Jonathan.
Drawing will be on
I'm not saying anything about you going anywhere in a basket or a hand basket or... Oh, that was bad. I don't think I have anything else to say. Let's prepare for our worship. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of heaven and earth, you come in close and make us yours. Equip us by your Spirit to confess our sin, embrace your forgiveness, and seek the way you set before us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. With honesty of heart, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, forgive us. Our will is handcuffed to sin, and we cannot break free. We have spoken when we should have kept quiet. We were silent when we should have said something. We acted when we knew better. We were still when we know we should have moved. For the wrong we have done, for the good we have failed to do, have mercy on us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to heal us and set us free. In God's mercy, you are forgiven. In God's love, you have life. Amen. that through all time abide. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us to hear your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be seated.
Making clothes for our young people that are born on reading from Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Steadfast love and abounding in steadfast love. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let me see it. This sermon is not what today's gospel reading is about. The gospel reading today is clearly about repentance, about turning, about returning to God. But there's also a part of the reading that touches on something else that we so often struggle with. Let me remind you. Some people asked Jesus about something that everyone was talking about in his day. Apparently, Pilate, the Roman governor, had killed some Jews who were making a sacrifice to God and then added their blood to the sacrifice. We don't know why or what they had done to merit Pilate's wrath, but it was a scandal, even a notorious scandal that everyone was talking about. And when they asked Jesus about it, he used it to talk about repentance, to be sure, but he also addressed something else. You see, it was commonly thought in that day that people's actions had concrete results in their lives. So the presumption was, if those folks had such terrible things happen to them, then they must have done something really terrible themselves, and God was punishing them. If we are honest, many of us think that way today, too. We struggle when tragedies happen, looking for some reason behind them. A mother of young children gets cancer and dies. A teenager is killed in a car wreck, or someone is the victim of violence. We don't know what to make of things like that happening, and we look for meaning and understanding. It's difficult and something we all struggle with, and that's why they asked Jesus about it. But Jesus doesn't give the answer we expect. He says, "Do you think those people Pilate did that to were any worse sinners than anyone else?" In other words, Jesus addresses the question in their hearts and says it directly. Do you think that those people had done something to deserve what Pilate did to them? Or another way to put it, you're asking why bad things happen to people and wondering if God causes it for some reason. It's not hard to think of the silence that must have surrounded Jesus then. He had just stepped right up to address the question they all had trembling in their hearts. And then he said, "No." And he went on to cite another example. Apparently a tower had fallen in Siloam and killed 18 people as it fell. And again, Jesus said, "No." Sometimes bad things just happen, and God is not out to get folks this way. Then he goes on to say, but while you're thinking about this, while you're thinking about the results of sin, it's a good time for you to repent of your own. When bad things happen, I think it's natural for us to look for understanding or to try to make sense of it all. We don't really want to live in a capricious, random world. We are better at cause and effect. But that's not what Jesus said. There are a lot of explanations for why bad things happen, images that can be helpful in trying to understand. And many of you have heard me talk about the one that works best for me, ripples in a pond. Imagine you and everyone else standing around a pond of water. When someone sins, it's like they throw a pebble into the pond, and the ripples from that splash spread out across the surface of the water, all the way to the edge of the pond, and actually bounce back out and continue on. Meanwhile, someone else has thrown in another pebble, and someone else, and someone else, and all those pebbles send out ripples too. And at some point, the ripples I send out will interfere with the ripples you send out and with other ripples until the whole surface of the pond is disturbed. The chaos of where those ripples meet is, I think, where bad things happen. When bad things happen, it's not tied to a particular sin, but to the fact of sin in our world. So when bad things happen, it's not anyone's fault, and it's everyone's fault. So when Jesus says, this is the time to repent, what he means is that when bad things happen, this is the time to trust God even more. This is the time to turn to God in prayer and hope. This is the time to look for comfort, for the strength of God's presence with us, for the warmth of God's love and care. God does not flee from difficult times or hard questions, but rather enters into them with grace and compassion. In these times is when he holds us closest.
in these times, God is with us, sharing our struggles and seeing us through. This is the time to pray that God would take our world of pain and sorrow and struggle and breathe new life into it. It's the gift of resurrection. I saw it this week, and of all places, last week's issue of Sports Illustrated magazine. The feature article at the end of the magazine was entitled Life and Legacy, and looking at the pictures, you would think the story was about hockey. Now, I know you're going to see a hockey game later today, but typically, I usually skip over stories about hockey in that magazine. It's just not a sport I know anything about or really care about at all. Hope you have a good time. But this article was about the junior hockey team that was traveling by bus last April that got hit by a truck and 16 of the players died. The article was exploring not only what had happened, but how it had affected the families of those who died, and even more. It was a clear tragedy that had people asking the questions we've been talking about and struggling to find answers. The article focused mostly on one player, Logan Boulay. He wasn't the most gifted athlete, but he worked hard at the sport and became one of the best on his team. One coach that had inspired Logan had died young and had donated his organs to help others, so as soon as it was legal for him to sign a donor card, Logan did it too, on his birthday in March last year. When the crash happened a month later, Logan lived long enough to be able to donate his heart, lungs, liver, kidney, pancreas, and corneas. But then the story spread, and people all over Canada began signing up to be organ donors. It's not as easy to do in Canada as it is here in the United States, but people began to do it. It even took on a name, the Logan Effect. And in the end, well, let me just quote from the article by Greg Bishop. Logan's family seeks comfort in the bigger picture, the best thing that came from the worst thing, and the only thing that makes them feel even a little bit better as the anniversary of the crash approaches. They're not sure exactly how many donors signed up after Logan's death, or how many of those donors signed up because of Logan's story. But the numbers they have heard, 100,000. 200,000, even more, are staggering. Imagine when those new donors tell their friends, who tell their friends, and how many of those people will sign up. It's like ripples in a pond, said the coach's wife, whose husband had tossed in the first stone. Like ripples in a pond. That's the transformation that God brings about. That's resurrection. Now, I'm not saying that God caused the death of Logan to bring all this about. No. I think that was a ripple of sin. But then I think God took what happened and from it draws newness and life that spreads across our world, that transforms our world. And those are the ripples of good. They are the ripples of resurrection. Oh, people of God, when bad things happen, turn to God. Trust and lean into God's arms of love. And look for those ripples of grace. Thank you. care. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Loving Jesus, Redeemer of all that is, we remember now that you came to save all the world. We thank you now for your sacrifice for our sins. We need the salvation you bring in so many ways. Lead us in more faithful lives. Open our wills to seek your will. Embolden us to give ourselves in service and love for each other as you have led the way. Lord, in your mercy, living Lord, make your presence known and felt throughout our world. We live in troubled and difficult times for many. Our world has been rocked by natural disasters this week, and so many are in need. Renew us now in hope and strengthen our trust in your care for us all. Strengthen us to reach out in compassion, proclaiming your transforming love through our lives. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O God, our thoughts turn to our needs. Help those who struggle in life. Comfort the sick and the sorrowed. Reach in love to those who are poor and hungry or outcast or alone. Be with those who face unknown futures and who don't know where to turn. Bless all your people, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, O God of mercy, fill us with your Spirit so that we might be merciful with one another. Grant that we might be patient and understanding and loving and kind as we cross the intersections of our lives. Remind us always that we are one in you. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Generous
God, you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for our every need.
Receive our gifts
of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, we bless and magnify you. You led your people, Israel, through the desert and joined us in our desert, pouring out your life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, be done.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Tender and merciful one, at your feast you fed us who brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.